Welcome to the Keynote Podcast from Kingdom Faith. Today's message is by Pastor Colin Urquhart.
If we turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 1, I really want to follow up just for a few minutes on what was being said on Sunday morning. Even after the meeting, we were getting some very great testimonies of what God did during the meeting and the prayer ministry that we had. Lives were being changed. Let's just start with the verses that we read from on Sunday. Verse 18, God is faithful in what he says, so our message to you is not yes and no. Jesus Christ, God's Son, about whom Silas, Timothy, and I preached to you, was not yes and no. In him the truth is revealed as always being yes. No matter how many promises God gives us, they are all affirmed in Christ with a mighty yes. We can say, Amen, it shall be so, to all that is said through him. And such faithful affirmation gives glory to God. So it is God himself who enables you and us to stand firm in Christ. For he himself anointed each of us personally, thus setting his seal of ownership upon us by placing his own spirit in our hearts. This wonderful deposit that we have received from him is a guarantee of what is to come, our full inheritance. That yes that we were talking about, that affirmation that is within us, is of course Christ himself. It is the Holy Spirit of Christ affirming the yes to what he says. The most powerful combination is the Word and the Spirit. See? Because Jesus is the Word, the Spirit is the Spirit of Christ, and the Word and the Spirit work together not only to guide us into the truth, but to release the power of God into our lives. And that's when the power gets released. When we see the Word and the Spirit coming together with that mighty affirmation. So several people, obviously, quite a lot of people on Sunday, received a fresh affirmation, a yes inside their spirit. That was inside their hearts. That was the work of the Spirit. But what about the ongoing daily walk with God? See, the closer you walk to the Word, the closer you walk to Jesus. Because you can't separate Jesus from the Word, because he is the Word of God. So to walk closely to the Lord is to walk by faith in the Word. So quite apart from that kind of supernatural affirmation that the Spirit gives in people's hearts, there is another yes that is the yes of our faith in the Word. So that whenever we read the Word, we are saying, yes, 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 yes. And this is why, of course, the more we're into the Word, the more faith grows within us, so long as when we read, that yes is going on inside us. And, of course, that yes is to everything that God says. This morning when I was reading, because we need to read all of it, not just the bits we like, I read something which I must have translated, but something that I don't think I've ever heard anybody preach about. I certainly never preached about it. It's in Luke 12, verse 47. I mean, it's not the kind of thing you want to preach about, really, which is why nobody ever preaches about it. Luke 12, 47. The servant who knows his master's will, but who neither prepares nor puts his master's will into action, will be punished with many blows. The person who is ignorant of his purposes will receive only a few blows, even though he is guilty and deserves to be punished. Now, Jesus is talking in this whole passage about what is going to happen when he comes again. And, you know, as believers, we long for that and we think of welcoming him. And yet, here's this warning. In the whole passage, the warning is that we must be ready. And that when he comes, he wants to find us being faithful in doing what he's called us to do. And then there's this warning that anybody that knows the will of God but isn't doing it is going to be punished with many blows. Now, Jesus gives a series of warnings like this, and he never explains exactly what it means, I suppose, because he doesn't want us to experience what he's talking about. I mean, all this about the being cast into outer darkness, the wailing and gnashing of teeth and all the rest of it, doesn't sort of sound encouraging. The interesting thing is that a lot of these warnings are directed to those who do believe, not to those who don't. To those who have known the mercy of God, that have known the grace of God. And these verses that we've just read, this is a warning. I mean, many blows, few blows, we don't want any blows when Jesus comes again. So Jesus obviously never preached to inspire fear in a negative sense, but he does say it's better to fear the one who has the power to cast you into hell. You know, he says this is the one you are to fear, the one who has the power to do that, referring, of course, to himself. So it isn't just a question of, well, you know, we're believers and praise God, everything in the garden is rosy. It is, as we walk with the Lord, close to the Lord, believing his word, seeking to be obedient to what it is he's calling us to be and to do. Now, it's not that we get salvation out of what we do, but it's simply the outworking of our salvation. If we go back to 2 Corinthians 1, now you know why you've got two ribbons. In. Of course, if you're looking at the truth on your apps, you haven't got any ribbons. But I'm sure you can move from one thing to another somehow or other. I don't understand these things. If we go to chapter 2, we just had a look briefly at verse 14 on Sunday. But thanks be to God, for he always leads us in his triumphant procession because we are in Christ. And he uses us everywhere we go to spread the truth about him. For we are to God like the perfume of Christ among those who are being saved, the sweet fragrance of his life. But it is different among those who are perishing because of their rejection of the gospel. To them we have the smell of death about us. It explains in the footnote that in these triumphant processions that the Romans had, you know, a successful general was granted a triumph. This was a big deal in Rome. And at the head of this procession was, of course, the victorious general, followed by his troops. And this procession was accompanied by the burning of incense, of sweet fragrance. Then, after the victorious troops, there came the prisoners that they had taken. And finally, the king or whatever of the conquered, defeated people. And so there's this sweet incense that is being burned with this procession. A really great smell for the conquering troops, but the smell of death for the prisoners, because they would either be killed in the games, fed to the lions and gladiators and all the rest of it, and the king, at the end of the procession, was taken to a place where he was strangled. They always gave the king the grace of not being publicly killed in the arena, but he was just strangled quietly, privately. But all those guys knew that they were going to their death. So the same smell that sort of signified victory for one, signified death for the others. And what Paul is saying, it's like that with the preaching of the gospel. It's life to those who believe and accept and receive, and death, the smell of death, to those who reject the revelation of the truth. And of course, we can't make people believe, neither can we prevent them from rejecting. All we can do is to present the truth in the power of the Spirit and trust that people are going to respond and receive the life that Jesus came to give. So if we go on to chapter 3 for a moment, verse 4, this is the confidence we have before God through our faith in Christ. We are not able, because of our natural abilities, to claim any credit for ourselves. Our ability comes from God. He has made us able to be ministers of the new covenant, which is based not on the letter of the law, but on the Spirit of Christ, of God. For religious legalism kills, but God's Spirit gives life. And it's not this legalistic attitude to the Word, it's this faith attitude to the Word. And that's what the Spirit of God is doing, because He is the Spirit of faith. Again, in the following chapter, Paul talks about the Spirit of faith. With this same Spirit of faith, we believe and therefore speak. And the Word of God is the same for everybody. So it's really a question of attitude. Even when we're sitting reading our Bibles each day, it's the attitude with which you read it. It's the faith with which you read it. I mean, you can just sit there and read it and be interested. Or you can be affirming what is said. Now, of course, the walk of faith in Jesus is affirming the truth in the face of what we feel. When we feel negative, in the face of our circumstances, whether it's sickness or need or oppression or attack in some way, you just hold fast to the Word of God with an honest and good heart. That's how Jesus described those that bear the hundredfold fruit in the parable of the sower. How do you bear fruit? By holding fast to the Word of God. By this my Father is glorified, that you bear much fruit. But how do we bear that fruit? By holding fast to the Word with an honest and good heart. And the enemy perseveres, which is why Jesus teaches us the perseverance of faith. The enemy is a nagger. He just nags away with his negatives. And in the face of that, we hold fast to the truth. We keep confessing the truth. We keep speaking the truth right in the enemy's face. But more than that, he's given us the authority over the enemy. So it's not just a question of putting up with his nagging, but of taking authority, exercising the authority that the truth says we have, so that the enemy flees. You see, how did Jesus counteract the temptations in the wilderness? It is written. The enemy in attacking Jesus was misusing the word. But Jesus uses the word in the right way, comes with the truth right in the face of the devil's deception. That's deception, isn't it, to use the word in the wrong way? So he comes with the truth, and the devil has got no answer to that. Why? Because heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will not pass away. A man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that comes from the mouth of God. So we do have the answers. And this is why, you know, in the direct counseling that some of you do as students, you counsel with the Word of God, because the Word of God is the answer. The Word of God is not ministering to people. It's ministering the truth to them. It's getting them to see for themselves the truth of who God is and of what he has done and accomplished in Christ. As soon as people see it, it's like that yes inside them, and that's it. Just while I was having a spot of breakfast this morning, I was listening to the radio, and there was a debate going on about how to get people off drug addiction. And we know there is one way to get immediately delivered without going through cold turkey, and that is to be made new through Jesus Christ. Of course, that didn't come into the debate. but it was interesting that apparently, statistically, only 2% of addicts are offered any kind of program to get them off the drugs. 98% are offered, you know, drug replacement programs where they continue in their addiction. But only 2% of addicts are offered any kind of rehabilitation program by the government. Well, we've got a rehabilitation program. But you see, the thing is that the world doesn't have an answer to bondage, except how to cope with the bondage. Well, perhaps we can help you to cope with it a little bit better, to cope with life a little bit better. So psychiatry doesn't have any answers. All that it can do is to help people to live with their problem, to accept their problem, to live with it, and so on. Whereas we deal with answers. Our God is the one who delivers. Hallelujah. I've been doing some translating of the Old Testament, not the whole thing, let me tell you. But I've just gone through Psalms. I'm sort of picking out the good bits. But it is just amazing. I mean, I can remember the one thing I really valued that I had to do at university. I was given a project, a paper to write on the doctrine of God, the doctrine of God in the Psalms. And it it turned out I got a very high mark for it, as it turned out, because I got so absorbed by it. If you go through all the Psalms, it is amazing the overall concept that you get of who God is. But there are certain things that are repeated again and again and again. And, of course, all these things find their counter in the New Testament. But they're complementary revelation in the New Testament. But one of those things that is repeated again and again and again in the Psalms is that God is our deliverer. He is our rock. He is our shield. He is our defense. He is our deliverer. And you can understand this kind of language because, of course, many of the Psalms were written by David, who was himself a warrior. He was a soldier. And so God is a refuge. God is a rock, an immovable one, our strength. He is the deliverer. And I think what has happened for many Christians, who of course focus more on the New Testament, is that deliverance is something for those that have got a demonic problem. See? But deliverance in the Old Testament got nothing to do with demons. It's got to do with the enemy. It's got to do with the things that come against us. It's got to do with the attack that we all experience. It's not got anything directly to do with demons. So he is our deliverer. Amen? He is the one who is our savior. A savior is a deliverer. If he's our savior, he has delivered us from everything that we need to be saved from. And this is what I mean about living close to the Word, because if you live close to the Word, you live close to the Lord, because you get a greater understanding of who he is. And, you know, I always have a Technicolor Bible. I'm going through my leather-bound truth one at home. I've covered, I should think, I mean, it hasn't been out many weeks, has it? But I should think about two-thirds or even three-quarters of it now. It takes some time to do that, but it does you so much good. Not the actual coloring, but... But you see, but if you've got a coloring system like that, you've got to work out which color is right for each phrase, for each verse. So you're actually working out, well, what does this mean? What is it saying? What is Jesus saying? You're actually, that kind of process is happening in you all the time. And you're saying, yeah, this is good. And you see there's this affirmation, yes, yes, yes. And then you come to a bit like that, many blows and few blows. And you find you've got to say, yes. This is Jesus speaking. There's a yes to that. And you think to yourself, well, why does he say this? Well, it says in the margin, warning. And it's amazing how many warnings Jesus gives. But you see, it's the warnings that people often avoid. Because it's much more comfortable to read other bits. Amen. So I've got to be careful with the Old Testament that I don't avoid the warnings and just get the good bits that we want to confess over our lives. But the great thing is this, that we have the Word, and what God wants to do is get the Word within us. We have the Spirit, and the Spirit is within us. So the Spirit and the Word within us work together to create that yes! And when there's that yes, that's what leads to the release of the life, the love, the power, whatever is relevant in the particular situation. So we're blessed. And, you know, as I was sort of intimating on Sunday, and we're going to sort of follow this up next Sunday, I believe that we're coming now to a place where we're going to see so much more happening. You see, I think we've all got the message about the church being turned inside out, about people going out and touching the world in different ways. But you see, the key thing is not just that we go out, but with what do we go out? Well, we go out with the truth, but we need to go out with the truth in power. And the reason why we had the kind of morning we had on Sunday was not just so that we could go, oh, that was great, you know, oh, praise God, the number of people got healed and all the rest of it. But because God wants to release his power, not just to bless and to heal members of the congregation, but he wants to release his power in their lives out there in the world. And God has been speaking to me. I was wondering whether a bit more of this would have happened at Faith Camp than did. But because God has been sort of speaking to me for some weeks about this. And I had a time with the Lord a few days ago where he sort of reminded me of all the great things that I've seen him do in former times in my ministry. And he just asked a series of questions. He says, I haven't got them here, but the tenor of the questions was, am I any different? Is the word any different? Is your anointing any different? What's changed? What are you waiting for? And Caroline knew nothing about any of this. She didn't know that God had been speaking to me about these things. And just happened to say to me the end of last week sometime, you never minister in the way you used to. We never see God moving and doing so many powerful things as used to. And I just said, well, you know, God's talking about this. He'll have his time and boom, 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 boom. And at the end of Sunday, as we were driving home, she said to me, what a relief. That's the Colin I know. And she said, I've been really concerned about you. You've just become a teacher of the word, and you seem to have lost that dimension of seeing the power of God in the way that you always used to. I said, well, it's not really a question of that. You know, God has times and seasons. So the power's already been there, but God's been wanting to do something different in the body, not just focusing on people. And I mean, I knew that was true, but I knew also the truth of what Caroline was saying. That actually, if you see release, if you see things happening, that encourages the faith of people then to go and see things happening. If a release happens in the meeting on a Sunday, then the release will happen in people's lives out there. The more they see on a Sunday, the more they will see in the world on Monday. And, you know, we've got used to this idea of, well, God will touch people where they are and boom, boom, and all that is true. But some people don't have the faith to believe that God will touch them where they are. Because that's not the place where we will start, you know. And we know that nothing, that the whole thing does not depend upon us. As we've just read, we are not competent of ourselves to do anything. But our competence, our ability, comes from God. So faith is stepping out in that, isn't it? Faith is stepping out in the face of all the odds. And yeah, it can get a bit hairy sometimes, especially when you're sort of leading meetings, there's thousands of people, and God says, have this one come forward and heal them in front of everybody so they can see what a great God I am. You know that, okay, if God leads you to do that, he's not going to let you have egg on your face, but he's going to do it, and he's going to do it immediately. He's going to do it in a demonstrable way that everybody will see. I can remember one time I was in Switzerland, and they had this big Sunday morning meeting where all the churches in the city had come together. And I was preaching at this thing. And before I started to preach, I mean, when you get all the churches together, what have you got? You've got everything. You've got the believers, you've got the questioners, you've got the doubters, you've got the religious ones, you've got the whole spectrum. And as the meeting was progressing, just before I got up to preach, God started to speak to me about somebody with a very specific need. It was a thing in the back where the back was locked and painful and all the rest and bum, 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 bum. But it was very, very specific. So specific that it could really only apply to one person. It wasn't one of these general words and, you know, everybody with a back problem raises their hands or anything like that. But it was a very, very, I can't remember all the details, but it was very, very specific. So he said, I want you to heal this person before you preach. So I get up and bring out this word. One person, I said, you know, come forward and God's going to heal you now in front of everybody. This person came forward. Just one person, because it was so specific. Prayed. God, of course, healed. What I learned at the end of the meeting, this was the mayor of the city. Now you see, that's God, isn't it? The whole city, or at least the church from the whole city is there. And so God says, right, I'll heal the mayor, who everybody knows, everybody, you know, appreciates, just to show who I am. Now, you know, you can have, it's a bit like walking on water, times like that. But you know that if God has given you a revelation, he's going to do it. And you see, this is the thing I believe God is saying, that what he wants to do here at Kingdom Faith is to teach people not only to go out with the power, but how to be sensitive to the leading of the Spirit so they use the power in the right ways at the right time and see the power of God released. And I believe that what God is going to do over the coming weeks and months is we're going to have amazing testimonies, orange cards, every week about the exploits that people have seen God do out there in the world. Now, we get occasionally those, but I mean, they're a trickle that needs to become a downpour. And that this is going to be such an encouragement, not simply that we see people heal, but we see the way in which God uses people. And some of this goes on already, of course, but it's with relatively few people. And what God wants to do is to release something into the whole body. And he wants to raise the stakes. He wants to raise the level of faith so we believe for even more things, greater things still. Amen? So I'm excited because I felt at the end of Faith Camp, you know, well, that was fine, but we've got to go on. We've got to go higher. We've got to go further with God. So next Faith Camp is going to be completely different from this year's Faith Camp, as good as it was. But I feel that at the end of every Faith Camp. I feel thankful and yet frustrated because I know God can do more. So next year we'll see more. But we don't have to wait for Faith Camp. See, this is the thing. We're going to see more every day. Come on, let's stand. Hallelujah. Father, we thank you, we praise you, we bless you. We thank you for what you did Sunday. Thank you for every life that was touched. We thank you for the people that were healed. We thank you for those who spoke to me at the end who were just completely transformed by what you did. We thank you, Lord, actually for those that were delivered, that those were just liberated by what you did. Now, we know, Lord, that you can do far more. And we know, Lord, that you want not only to do great things on a Sunday, but you want all your people to do great exploits. And I thank you, Lord, that you are going to build the confidence that people have so they won't be fearful of ministering to others or fearful that things won't happen or fearful that they'll get egg on their faces, but there will be that absolute conviction that if they pray, you will do it. That because they're believers, if they lay hands on the sick, they will recover. And we thank you, Lord, that we're going to create a storm in Horsham in the coming months because the word is going to get around of the things that you are doing. And Lord, I think of that conversation, the addicts, the alcoholics, those in real bondage, we thank you. We are going to see people immediately transformed, delivered, set free. But Lord, we don't have a drug rehabilitation problem. We have you program. We have you. And we thank you that you are all we need, that nothing is impossible for you. We thank you, Lord, that you can make people new in an instant of time. And we thank you that we're going to see more and more of this kind of thing happening. Thank you, Lord, for your word, but thank you that you want that word to find substance in our hearts, in our lives, in our daily activities, in what we say and in what we do. So, Lord, we thank you for that spirit of faith that is working within every one of us. We thank you that as we read the word, we can agree with what you say. We can say yes, even to the difficult things, Lord, that we don't understand. We can say yes. I'm going to be ready. If Jesus comes again tomorrow, I shall be ready. I shall be moving in obedience to God's word. I will not be those that will get either few blows or many blows. There won't be any blows because I'm going to be ready. Hallelujah. Praise you, Jesus, for your grace, your love, your life, your power. And we just give you all the glory, Jesus. Hallelujah. Thank you that we're living as those who are ready. Yes, yes. Come on, let's really thank the Lord. Oh, just thank him that you are going to experience a further release of the Spirit in your life. Oh, the Spirit of faith. Leading you to a new level in what God will do through you. Hallelujah. Thank him that he's prepared good things, good works for you to walk in. Hallelujah. Thank you that you're going to see those good works. You're going to see greater, more powerful, mightier things that will give more glory to his name. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank him that you can be an encouragement to others. That as you go out in faith yourself, as you speak faith, as you exude faith, so those around you are going to be all impacted by the faith in God's word. Oh, we praise you, Jesus. Soturi sataria leto bakarazito ba. Borala bazatu bakarazito ba. Hallelujah. Now we're just going to pray for the disobedient. Because, you know, anybody in pastoral work would tell you that you spend most of your time with the disobedient. The people that need time, that have ongoing problems, they're disobedient to what the word says. And even when you confront them with the truth, they don't do it. And so they're back for another session because why? They're still walking in disobedience. Now, that syndrome needs to be broken. Amen? That syndrome needs to be broken. Hallelujah. That we don't have people persisting in disobedience. Huh? Because, I mean, that seems to me to indicate many blows. And so that's not right, is it? We don't want people living, you know, in at that level. So come on, let's pray for them. Pray for all on the pastoral team within the church that minister to them. Hallelujah. Oh, that they won't try to counsel with their wisdom or with their understanding, but they will see the word of God going forth to set people free and to deliver them. And Lord, we just pray for those who have persisted in disobedience because they persist in unbelief in your word. And we pray, Lord, that you will do such a work in Kingdom Faith as a whole and in them in particular, that syndrome of unbelief, of fear, of disobedience will be broken in their lives in the name of Jesus. And we pray that, Lord, for those that have longer in the tooth, who've persisted in these things for years. We pray for young people as they get impacted by the gospel, that they will right from the very beginning become people of faith, and that they will see that they can have immediate answers to their needs, that they will be set free as youngsters, as teenagers, and will become mighty witnesses to their friends at school and college. And we just give you glory, we give you honor, we give you praise. We thank you, Lord. Torazataba. Come on, let's pray in the Spirit over these folk. Kurata pariazatu bakarasita di sanduma. Borala basuturi sataria lera bakarasita di sanduma. Boparazataria letu bakarasita di satuba. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Poratapakarasitari sanduma. As hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. We're going to see victory. Yes. Victory in these lives. We're going to see transformation in these lives. Not just a continuance of the same syndrome. Oh, we praise you, Lord. And just one more thing we're going to pray. I want us to pray that people will come to see what they have. And they will believe the revelation of God's word to see what power, authority, and so on they have. As I left home this morning, our youngest grandchild, Joella, she's 1 year old today. And so everybody was sort of gathering around as she opened her presents. Now, 1 year old, you don't understand birthday. When we were saying happy birthday, she looked round at us as if to say, what on earth are you doing? But as she began to open her presents, I had to leave in the middle of it. But, you know, the first thing she opened was a tambourine, which one of her sisters had given me. Well, she worked that one out in 2 seconds. But then she opened one of these boxes with all kinds of different things in and different shapes that you put. Not interested in working that out, just in banging the box at this moment. She doesn't realize what she's got. And as she begins to open other presents, she'll grow into them during the coming months. She doesn't know what she's got. So many Christians like that. They don't know what they've got. It isn't that they don't have the presence. It isn't that God hasn't given them the gifts. They just don't know what they have. They've got the gifts of the Spirit, and they don't know that they have the gifts of the Spirit. They don't know how to use the gifts of the Spirit. They're not familiar with employing the gifts of the Spirit. So let's just pray now. Lord, we thank you that more and more people are going to come into revelation of what they have, of what you have already entrusted to them, of what you have given them. And Lord, that they won't just believe this in an academic sense, but they will employ these gifts. They will put these presents into operation in their lives. Thank you, Lord, that you have given us the kingdom. And thank you, Lord, that people can employ the kingdom life and power and authority that you have already put within them. Thank you that you've given them the Spirit and all the gifts of the Spirit, and they can learn how to employ those gifts and use those gifts and see those gifts bearing fruit in their lives. Thank you, Lord, that this is going to be a time of real excitement, of adventure, as people discover what they have and employ what they have, use what they have, and see the fruit that comes from it. And we just give you all the glory. We give you all the honor, Lord. Thank you that we're going to see so much practical outworking of things in these coming weeks. And we just bless you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Now we thank you, Lord, that you're going to give us favor. You're going to give us favor with the authorities. You're going to give us favor with the local council, with the county council. You're going to give us favor with government agencies. You're going to give us favor with funding for the things that you want us to do. We thank you, Lord, that this is going to be a season of your very particular favor, of your grace. And we thank you, Lord, that we are going to be actually aided in doing the work of your kingdom, because of the favor that you give us, the opportunities that open up to us. And we just bless you. We praise you. We thank you, Lord, that we don't look at the negative of how difficult it will be to get the funding or to get this. No, Lord, it's going to be easy, because you are going to go ahead of us. You are going to do it. You are going to see things released to us in the mighty name of Jesus. And we praise you, Lord. We don't look at the problem. We look at the answer. And we just give you all the glory, all the honor, all the praise. Bless your wonderful name. Purala bazata barazituri satari eletu bakarazitaba. Balatapari eleta bakarazituri satu bakalazinoma. Come on, Jesus. Come on, Jesus. Come on, Jesus. Suturi satari eleta bakarazituri satuba. Bora tapari eleta bakarazituri satu bakarazinoma. Oh, we bless you, Lord. Hallelujah. Now come on, just thank him for what we're going to see. Between now and Christmas, we'll just take this first sort of few months. Just thank him that by Christmas, Kingdom Faith is going to be a completely different kind of animal. I mean, it's going to be seen to be different. Oh, because of the release of the Spirit, release of faith, release of power. It's as if what God has been doing in these last few months is building a platform, and now we're going to see the release. It's like building the launch pad. Now we're going to see the launch. Hallelujah. Oh, we give you glory, Lord. We give you honor. We give you praise. We bless you, Jesus. Suturi satari eletu bakarazito. Balatapari eletu bakarazito. Oh, I just feel we should pray for Sunday evenings as they begin again. They'll be different. There's going to be so much power knocking around. So many things are going to happen in the younger people's lives that they're going to They're going to go out as witnesses, and more unsaved people are going to come just because of the witness of what you have been doing. Come on, let's pray this. Pray for Karen and for all the others that are responsible for the Sunday evening. Oh, Lord, we thank you that you're going to move in and take over. That it's not going to be done by striving, straining, trying to make things happen. You are going to do it, Lord. Oh, hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. We just believe it as things get started again in whenever it is in a few weeks' time, that it's going to be a mighty launch right from the first Sunday. So people will say, hey, this is different. There is something new that God is doing. That God is doing. Hallelujah. Come on, let's just pray in the Spirit over this. Thank you, Jesus. Oh, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you for all those young people that are going to be impacted. Thank you, Lord, for all those out there in Horsham and around the district at this time that you are calling, that you are choosing, that you are going to put your hand upon young lives that are going to be formed into mighty disciples in the coming months and years. We bless you, Jesus. We bless you, Lord. Torazata bakarazita. I can see a new sort of kind of youth movement springing up. I just got this in my spirit this morning. Anybody else see that? I can just sort of sense, oh, there's a new movement among young people. Puratapa, a movement, not just a blessing, a movement. God begins to move in a new way. Now, there's no pressure on those who are leading, you see. There's no pressure because it's going to be Jesus. It's going to be God. It's not going to be because we do this, that, and the other. It's because of what he's going to do. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. We praise you. We bless you. Yes. Yes, 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 yes. Potapara zata para zita di satoba. Borataparia zato bakara zita di sandama. Bopara zataria letter bakara zita di sandama. Potapara zato bakara zitoba. Oh Lord, we just bless you. We praise you. We exalt you. We magnify your name. We glorify you. What a wonderful, wonderful, wonderful God you are. And thank you, Lord, that not to us, but to you gives all the praise, all the glory, all the honor in the mighty name of Jesus. And all God's people said, Amen.
Thank you for listening to this Kingdom Faith podcast. We trust it's been an encouragement to you. For more information and resources by Kingdom Faith and for our other audio and video podcasts, please visit kingdomfaith.com.